Scott Van Pelt from ESPN joins us now. He's our Subaru Golf Insider. This Golf Insider brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. Scott, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me in to talk some golf.
Well, great timing to talk about golf right now. And I don't know if I usually say that on September 25th, but what an event on the weekend. What a performance. What a scene on 18, seeing the crowd there. Loved the interview that you conducted with him just moments after winning that tournament. And I guess, on a personal level, because you know him so well and you communicate with him so often, what was your experience like just watching sort of the king get back on the throne?
It was. He used the word surreal, and I felt similarly. It's hard to describe because I met him in 1995. I'm at the Golf Channel. He's a freshman at Stanford, and we met at the NCAA Championships in Columbus, Ohio. And the following year, he wins the U.S. Amateur in Oregon at a course called Pumpkin Ridge. And the following year, he wins the Masters in '97. And then the following spring in '98, he sat down with me and we did this big, long interview about that. And in many ways, that launched my career. And he's joked with me many, many, many times since that if not for him, there would be no me. And it's entirely true. My career was spawned because of the access and interviews that I had with Tiger through the years. And for many years, from 2000 through whatever, there was just, we took him for granted because he was just the best in the world and he won all the time, blah blah blah, and obviously he's been through a ton, and some of it is self-inflicted, some of it's his back gives out on him, this, that, and the other thing, and now he's a 42-year-old guy with a fused back and a bald spot who's been through some stuff, and a lot of people thought this was never going to happen again, and so I watched him win, and I watched him win through the eyes of the golf fan that was happy to see him win. And then I also see him through the eyes of a guy that's known him for more than 20 years. And this is really odd to say out loud because it sounds pretentious, but I was just happy for my friend. And at some point you realize, well, that's what we became over the years. You became professionally friendly with this man. Who didn't. And so I make zero apologies for the fact that I felt real happiness and real joy for my friend winning again, and the outpouring of adulation from people that you saw in Atlanta was unlike anything I've ever seen before, and I've been at this for a while, so it was, I know that's a long answer, but there's a lot to unpack here for that for me.
So we can say you're Cosell to his Ali of a different generation.
With respect to the late great Howard Cosell, I hope I haven't been seen like him. I mean, I'm not an instigator or an agitator as such, but I know him well.
I'm talking more about the relationship, really, because those two became famous beside each other, so to speak.
And that's interesting. And I mean, look, Ali, in the same way that Ali is a global name and is recognized just his image, Tiger certainly has been that. Look, he's been far from perfect, but I think that's what makes him so much more relatable now. And I've said this on a number of occasions in spots like these where I just, it's more thinking out loud, but I find that a guy who's got scar tissue and been through some stuff and has been divorced and has had his battles with sobriety or whatever is far more relatable than a 25-year-old who just wins every golf tournament he plays and doesn't make a misstep. There's nothing relatable about that. There's plenty that's relatable about human frailty and whatever. But ultimately, people just wanted to see him be great again, and they did. And so for us to talk on Sunday night was, it made me really reflective. And now that I've done that, mm-hmm. Now I think you see the old Tiger back in an instant when he, at his press conference at the Ryder Cup in France, talked about these young guys who said they wanted a chance to battle him. And he said, well, now you got it. And it's like, boys, you're about to find out.
Yeah.
And if he's healthy, and he can go for a while, like it's about to really get fun out there.
And that, could there be something better for golf than that?
No.
Right now, it's the Tiger versus the field, and that field, and maybe you disagree with me, but that field seems so much better than it did 10, 15 years ago when Tiger was dominating.
Sure, because these are the Frankenstein guys that came out of the lab that he created. They mm-hmm. look like that. Who are athletes that get in the gym, that value the idea of being. Rory McIlroy has totally changed his body. He's tiny. He hits it farther than anybody. All these guys are a generation spawned from following and wanting to follow in Tiger's footsteps. And so now if the health and the mind and the body allow him to do what he's done this year and get out there in the arena for, say, 5 years and trade punches with Rory and Spieth and Thomas and Day and Koepka and Dustin Johnson and on and on, well, then it's a blast. I mean, look, you guys see the ratings, and I don't know if it's particularly interesting, but it is to me because I'm in television. I mean, the ratings are up like 180% without – and he's the singular tide that lifts all boats in that sport, and there's nothing else like it in American sport, nothing.
No
single person represents a greater ratings move. He doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. He is the needle.
And we've been waiting. All those guys that you mentioned, we've been waiting for them to move things. ESPN's Scott Van Pelt joining us here on Overdrive.
See, when I look at what happened Sunday and I look at everything that he's gone through from the great times to the terrible ones, is it possible that Sunday is a one-off, or is Tiger Woods now ready to challenge for a major?
Well, he led on Sunday at the Open on the back nine on Sunday, and he was right there with a chance to win the PGA, but he couldn't, Brooks Koepka never wobbled. So I'd say that a guy that a year ago wasn't ranked in the top 100 players on earth, a year later led on Sunday at the Open and was a shot back on Sunday on the back nine at the PGA. So I certainly believe that he could. It's an interesting question because there's a bit of in me that wonders how much of this climb back to the top of the mountain was to put the flag in the ground one more time and look at that view. And did that represent the end of it? But knowing him as I do, I think that's base camp. You know, now he's got his sights set on the next hill, and that certainly would be a major. The one thing I'd say, that the caveat is that it's really difficult to win those, and you need many things to go right, and he isn't the only guy that enters with chances to win, which isn't to say in 2000 he was the only one, but he was such a singular presence and so many guys were defeated before it started. It's not that way now because these guys haven't dealt with him. They haven't had to compete with him. Now they will, and that'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, a major is, you know, based on what we saw this summer, that's certainly in his wheelhouse. He would be in the discussion to do it.
Well, I think one guy who thinks that Tiger can win a major apparently is Phil Mickelson, who tweeted today, "I just played with Tiger, and it's the best I've seen him swing the club. It's so on plane and solid. I'll be asking for a shot aside for our Thanksgiving match. I doubt I'll get it, though." What's going
on? That's order your pay-per-view now, by the way.
Yeah, but also,
next line there.
What's with this bromance? Like the world that I come from, they don't like each other.
Well, I tell you, it's amazing to see, because I'll promise you that not that long ago, none of this was bromance, they couldn't stand each other. And again, I think it speaks to perspective and growth. In the same way that Tiger used to kind of keep the crowd's adulations at arm's length, that, you know, the byproduct of fame was frankly a pain in the ass, just all of the attention. Now he taps into that love and allows those people to lift him. He told me Sunday night on our interview that they've, without question, those folks, they didn't. And Tiger understands Phil in a different way. Now they're older. They're fathers. He's in a different place in life than he was when he was just a tunnel vision 25-year-old. And so I think they recognize we've got way more in common than we have different. They're the old guys in the room at the Ryder Cup now, and these young guys feed off of the stories and the experiences. And if you'd have told me that Tiger and Phil would be buddy-buddy at the end of their career, I'd have told you were out of your mind. Like, there was no chance. I don't mean like I mean no chance. So
it was like watching
the fact that it's happened is amazing.
It's like watching Jimmy Connors at the end of his career being liked by people. Like,
yeah, right?
The people at the U.S. Open. He became a hero at the end of his career.
Yeah. But it's different in the sense that, like, Tiger was always the most popular guy.
Right.
But even the most hardened people that, for whatever reason, got sick of Tiger, and there's certainly people that did, like, you'd have to be a pretty hardened soul to have not watched Sunday and at least been moved by how many other people were moved. And I'm sure not everybody will be, because, I mean, people are going to, and I can hear them now saying, he did this and he did that. Yeah, you're right. He screwed up his marriage and he had pills or whatever. And guess what? None of that had anything to do with you. The issues he had with himself and with his wife. And they had nothing to do with you. But if it bums you out, then that's fine. You can bum you out. But Tiger was always the most popular guy. Always.
And
it's just now. It's now there are far fewer detractors. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was just going to say, and it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, plays on, whether or not they play with each other or not during the Ryder Cup, which kicks off.
I think they're gonna.
You think so?
I think so. And I mean, it didn't work before. I mean, they,
yeah.
How Sutton put them out together, and it was an absolute disaster because they hated each other. But now that they're buddies, who knows? I mean, the American side's got a lot of talent, but those, you know, that beware the home underdog in the Ryder Cup. It's always a scary proposition.
Which kicks off on Friday on TSN. Just very quickly, want to get your thoughts on, mm-hmm. It was a big day for the Raptors yesterday. Kawhi Leonard actually was...
He spoke.
Yeah, he spoke.
Very
excited. He was there and flesh and bones and everything. Just from your perspective, as you cover things from south of the border, what are you looking for in terms of what Kawhi Leonard is like today compared to what he's like at the end of the season?
Gentlemen, without a close second, his saga last year with San Antonio is the strangest story of the year. Whatever happened there, I will never know. Whatever advice he got from his camp was, in my opinion, not particularly useful. He's there now, and he's an incredibly talented player, presuming he's healthy enough to play. Last year, there was great debate about, you know, whether he was or wasn't. His team said he was. He obviously felt otherwise. I don't have an answer because I don't know what to say other than, I just hope he plays, and beyond that, I don't know what make of it, because he says so little. So, I mean, we got a great kick out of just that unusual chuckle. I was just happy to see him smile.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just kind of like everyone's looking around like, whoa, that's sort of an odd delivery of that laugh there, huh? And he's the biggest question mark in American sports to me, and now, you know, global sports, because obviously he's there in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great city and it's a good organization. Will he fall in love? Like, could it be a Paul George? I have no idea. I would have never thought George would have stayed in OKC, and he did. So maybe, but I mean, everybody just assumed that he's had his sights set on the West Coast and that that's where he'd land next year. Who the hell knows, man? It is such a bizarre saga that we've seen.
We all sort of knew that the Raptors in the last couple of years would always be, you know, close to, you know, a 50, 55, maybe even a 60-win team. This could go in five or six different directions, and they could come back down to earth a little bit in the regular season but be a better playoff team, and that's what's going to make things so interesting.
Maybe. But you guys have been so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the curse, isn't it? You're really good in the regular season, then it falls apart in the playoffs, and then you want to blow it up. And I guess at some point you have to, and that's what this is. But who knows? We'll see if he sticks around.
I look forward to the first day he has to go out and shovel the driveway. That's the one.
That's not happening.
That's what I want to get film of.
Yeah, he does not. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, he's got a downtown condo right by the arena.
There you go.
Scott, excellent job with the Tiger Woods interview. You're one of the best in the business, and always great to have you here on the show.
That's really, really kind, and I appreciate you putting up with my long-winded answers. But this is a topic that I really find interesting, so I was happy to get a chance to visit with you boys. Thanks for having me.
As long as they're good answers, we're okay with the long-winded ones.
I understand.
Awesome stuff. Scott Van Pelt from ESPN covering Tiger Woods winning the Tour Championship and Kawhi Leonard in Toronto.